We continue to thank our God for another day that He has blessed us with, for this grand opportunity that we have to come together at this place to magnify His name, to encourage one another to remain faithful to our Lord. As it has been stated by Brother James, we thank everyone for being here this morning. And especially we are thankful to those of you who may be visiting with us. And if this indeed is your first time, if you came in after he extended that greeting, we'd love to have a record of your attendance. We would encourage you to fill out a visitor's card. You'll find one of those in the back of the pew where you're sitting. Please take one of those and fill them out, and we will, of course, acknowledge your presence with us on today. We won't embarrass you. We won't ask you to say anything. We just want to acknowledge your presence here on today. So thank you for being with us. And again, we are thankful that we all could be together on this day. You might notice a little baritone in my voice this morning. I've been confined to home almost all week with a cold that just wouldn't let me go, but I think it's trying to go the other way now, and we're thankful for that. So I hope that I don't sound too bad. Maybe the microphone will help it a little, disguise it a little bit. So, number 950, I believe, has been announced as our song of encouragement and invitation this morning. When we are standing and singing that song at the conclusion of our lesson today, we will be encouraging anyone who may be among us who need to respond to the Lord in any way. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we want to encourage you to do that. By that I mean, if you have not been baptized in water for the remission of sin after receiving the right teaching from the Word of God, then we want to encourage you to do that on today. We hope that we'll say some things that will encourage you to do that, that you might know what you need to do in order to please our Heavenly Father. If you're already a member of the body of Christ, but somehow you have realized that you're walking contrary to the will of God, we hope that we'll also encourage you to turn away from whatever it is and come back to the Lord before it's everlasting and eternally too late. Maybe you just need prayer. Whatever your need is, we would encourage you to respond when we stand to sing that song. In the book of Numbers, chapter 23, it's where I chose to take a verse from today to share with us a lesson from the Word of God. Numbers chapter 22, we find that Balak, who was king of Moab, got afraid of God's people as he observed them. He said that they were numerous people. He was afraid that they would come and perhaps overtake them, the Moabites. And so he called on Balaam, who was a prophet in Baal-peor, over near in this area where the Moabites live, to come and to curse God's people, because he said, I know that whoever you curse will be cursed, and whoever you bless will be blessed. So I want you to come and curse God's people. Balaam, of course, at his first request, of course, the Lord instructed him, and he would not do it. Second time around, he tried to get him to do the same thing, and of course, Balaam went to God, and God said to him, I want you to say this to the king of the Moabites. And those are the passages that we had read this morning. He said several things to this king, but one thing he said to this king in verse number 10 of Numbers chapter 23. He said, and who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous. And let my last end be like this. I'll be like his. I chose that passage because I wanted to talk about something today that a lot of times we shy away from talking about, and that's death. But it's an undeniable fact that we are going to die. The Word of God teaches us of this very fact. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. The Word also, plus our own life experiences, show us that this is a fact. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 2 says, a time to be born and a time to die. Ecclesiastes 9, verse number 5, particular, says the living know that they shall die. So even if the Word of God did not teach us that, our own experiences let us know that we're going to die. Almost every week, you may go down any street in Huntsville, and you perhaps will see a stream of lights. That tells you that somebody has died. We know we're going to die. But Balaam said something that's very significant in this verse. He says, let me die the death of the righteous. And as we experience death in our lives or in our experiences, sometimes we experience it from a natural standpoint, that is, from age. After a while, we're going to die just because of age. But then there are other ways that people meet death. There are accidents. There are fires, drownings, murders, and on we could name these various other ways, and we call these ways tragic ways to die, or terrible ways to die. And while these may be terrible ways to die, I want to say to us this morning that there is a way more terrible than dying because of drowning, dying because of a murder, dying because of a tragic accident. There is a way that we could die that is far more terrible than these ways. And I think that's somewhat implied in Numbers 23 and verse number 5 when Balaam says, he said, let me die. He didn't just say, let me die. But he said, let me die the death of the righteous. So I'm saying to us this morning that we can die of two ways. We can either die righteous or we can die unrighteous. I want to encourage us this morning to make sure that we die the death of the righteous, because any other way that we die, it's a terrible way to die. Three things I want to leave with us this morning that I want us to make sure that we don't die in these categories. And you know, when we talk about some of these other ways that people die, you know, accidents and murders and drownings, and sometimes those things, and not all of them, but sometimes many of those ways, we don't have a choice in the matter, perhaps. You know, somebody come down and broadside you, come down the road on the wrong side of the road in a curve, and you can't get out of their way. You didn't have any choice in that. That's a tragic way to die, yes. But what I want to talk about this morning is that we have a choice as to whether we die these ways that I'm talking about. Because if we don't die as a righteous person, that's a terrible way to die. One day we're going to have to meet our God. And that's an old song that was sung a long time ago in the church where I grew up in. And some of y'all grew up in some of the same churches, I'm sure. None but the righteous shall see God. If we want to see God, we're going to have to be righteous people. No wonder Balaam said, "Let me die the death of the righteous." So I want to encourage us this morning to make sure that we don't die in one of these three ways that I'm going to talk about. And I'm going to be brief this morning, but not too brief, because I want us to get the message. Number one, make sure that you don't die out of Christ. Amen. Make certain that you don't die out of Christ. Why do I say that? Because if you die out of Christ, you die without enjoying the spiritual blessing of salvation. Salvation is only in Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 10 teaches us that. Paul says, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is where? In Christ Jesus." Salvation is only in Christ Jesus. So if we die out of Christ, then that means that we die without the benefit of being saved. That's a terrible way to die. Because if we die not being saved, there's only one other alternative, that we'll die lost. And lost people will never spend eternity with God. If you die out of Christ, you die as a condemned person. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1, Paul said to the church at Rome, "Therefore there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." No condemnation to them that are where? In Christ Jesus. So what does that tell me? That tells me that if I'm not in Christ Jesus, I'm condemned. And you know what a condemned person has to look forward to? Is the punishment that awaits them of eternal destruction from our Lord and from our God. That's the only thing that one can look forward to who is condemned. Paul said to the church in Thessalonica, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, he says, "And to those of you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished," he says, "with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Those who don't obey Christ, they're not in Christ. So I'm encouraging you this morning then, if you're not in Christ, if you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, you need to obey Christ. Because if you die in that state, you will die as a condemned person. And you will be forever separated from the presence of God. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, as Jesus said when he concluded that parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 30, when he said, "Cast thou unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And so then, so if one dies out of Christ and dies as this condemned person, as I've already said, they will have no hope of spending eternity with God. Those who die in the Lord are promised that eternal rest with the Lord. Revelation 14 and verse number 13. John said, as he was inspired on the Isle of Patmos, "I heard a voice from heaven saying, right. Blessed are the dead that die where? In the Lord. From henceforth, say the Spirit, they shall rest from their labors. Do you want to rest from your labors? If you want to rest from your labors, the only way you can have that rest is to die in the Lord. If you die out of him, again, that's a tragic way to die. There is a rest, the Bible says, that remaineth for those who will die in the Lord. Hebrews 4 and verse number 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Verse number 11 says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So one needs to be in Christ in order to avoid this terrible death. And the only way to be in Christ is to be in his body, which is the church. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 22 and 23, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The church is his body. So in order to be in Christ, we must be in the body, because the church is the body of Christ. And I've already talked about salvation being in Christ. How then does one get in Christ? The Bible answers that question in Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 26 and 27. It says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Another translation says, have clothed yourself with Christ. You must be baptized in order to get into Christ. So then, if you want to die the death of the righteous, then you must be in Christ. You must be in the body of Christ. You must be in the church of our Lord. And there's only one body, the Bible says, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 4. There is one body. There is one church. One needs to be in that one church in order to die in Christ. But also, if one die in the church, but not being faithful to the Lord when he dies, that's a terrible way to die. I'm saying that so that we'll understand that not only must we be in the church, but we must be faithful to the Lord unto death while in the church. Because if you die not being unfaithful, that's the second terrible way to die. If you die being unfaithful to Christ, then, brothers and sisters, that's a terrible way to die. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, as John wrote to those Christians, those seven churches, and to this church in the area of Smyrna, he says, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. What is that saying to you and me? That is saying, if I'm not faithful unto death, I will not receive that crown of life. So I must be faithful. These were Christians. These were members of the body. These were people that were in Christ, that were in the church. But yet he says to them, you need to be, I want you to be faithful unto death in order to receive that crown of life. So I would say to us this morning then, make sure that we are faithful unto death. Now notice he didn't say be perfect. He said be faithful. Because we are not perfect, but we can be faithful to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Paul said when he came near to the end of his life, he said that he had lived a faithful life. Listen to him in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 7. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have done what? Kept the faith. What a beautiful statement. I hope each one of us will be able to say that if we have the opportunity just before we die. That I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. But I say to us this morning then that we need to live faithful children of God while in the body of Christ. Because if we live an unfaithful life, there may be a chance, and there is, I shouldn't say maybe, there is a chance that our names can be taken out of the book of life. Another church, talking to people that were in Christ, a church in Sardis, in Revelation chapter 3, in verses 4 through 6, the first few verses he had talked about them, that they had a name, that they were alive. But in actuality, they were dead. And he called upon them to renew those things or to come back to him and be faithful. And he says in verse number 4, he says, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In essence, he is saying, realize, Christians at Sardis, that your name can be taken out of the book of life. Realize, Northwest Christians, John Branch included, our names can be taken out of the book of life if we refuse to remain faithful to our Lord. And it's so important that our names be in the book of life, because the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Would you agree with me this morning that it's a tragic way, it's a terrible way to die, being unfaithful to the Lord? Our names will be taken out of the book of life. And if our names are not in the book of life, where are we going to spend eternity? In hell. Anybody want to spend eternity in hell this morning? Nobody's hand go up. So let's then live a faithful life unto death. Be faithful to our Lord. Be obedient to our Lord. And that's what faithfulness simply means. It means be obedient to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's our ruler. He's our commander in chief. We are to obey his orders. When he said, love your enemies, he meant that. When he said, forgive those that trespass against you, he meant that. When he said, exhort one another, he meant that. When he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, he meant that. When he said, give as you prosper, he meant that. He's our commander. We need to be faithful to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So faithfulness then is the same as being obedient to Christ. And when the Hebrew writer wrote to those Christians who were fledging in their faith, becoming disobedient to our Lord in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, he says, though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being then made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Who's the author of eternal salvation? Christ is. Who's he going to save? He's going to save all them. Which all them? All them that obey him. All them that are faithful unto death. So if you die not being faithful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's a terrible way to die. This morning, our request ought to be, our cry ought to be, our aim ought to be, as Balaam said, let me die the death of the righteous. Again, only the righteous shall see God. So I would say to us this morning, let's be faithful. Let's be faithful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we are following Christ, he's our example. He was faithful. How can we not be faithful if we're going to follow him? Bible says concerning him, as he said concerning himself in John chapter 8, in verse number 29, Jesus says, he that sent me has not left me. He that sent me is with me. He said, the Father has not left me alone, for I do always what? Those things that do what? Please him. Is that your objective this morning? To always do those things that please him. That should be your objective. That should be my objective. To always do those things that please him. Now, I know we mess up sometimes, and we say yes to Satan sometimes, but when we realize we've messed up, as somebody says, we need to fess up. Repent and fess up and get back into the good graces of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Jesus being our example, he says, I do always those things that pleases him. And again, the Hebrew writer said to those Hebrew Christians in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 1 and 2, he says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. And down by verse 14 of that same chapter, he says, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. That word steadfast, it's the same thing, meaning being faithful until the end. So if we want to see God's face and peace again, we got to be faithful people until the end. It's a terrible way to die out of Christ. It's a terrible way to die not being faithful to Christ. And lastly this morning, it's a terrible way to die if you die in your sins. Jesus says about these Jews in John chapter 8, verse 17, he says, it is written, it was also written in your law, that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Jesus said to these people who would not believe in him, who would not receive him, he said, you're going to die in your sins. And where I go, you can't come. If we die in our sins, that is not believing in Jesus, and again, not obeying Jesus, Jesus is saying that we can't go where he has gone. So unless they came to believe, that is these Jews, in him, they would die in their sins. But there are those even today who do not believe in Jesus as the Christ, do not believe in him as the one who has all authority. Some believe in him as a good prophet, a good man, and that he was a good prophet and a good man. But he was more than just a prophet and a good man. He was the Son of God. He was the one who had all authority. And again, as I've already said, he was the one, as I designate, as being the commander in chief. And God said from the clouds, when Peter spoke out after he had woke up from sleep, in Matthew 17 and verse 5, he says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Peter had put forth that great proposal. If thou wilt, let us build three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, the Bible says, this bright cloud overshadowed him and said, this is my beloved Son, whom I well please, hear ye him. We must hear Christ because God, or rather Christ, is God's spokesman. And if we don't hear Christ, if we reject Christ and do not obey Christ, we will die in our sin. Excuse me. And just like Jesus said to those Jews, you will die in your sins. Where I go, you can't come. It's a terrible way to die, dying in our sins. That's a tragic way to die, dying in our sins. One day we're going to have to stand before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we're going to have to give an account of everything that we've done in this body, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Jesus said this in John chapter 12 and verse number 48. He says, he that rejected me and receiveth not my word has one that judges him. For the words that I have spoken to you, the same shall judge you in the last day. It's a terrible thing to reject our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we are warned in the scriptures to not reject him. Listen to what the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Jesus is speaking from heaven to us today through his word. Make sure that we don't refuse or reject what Jesus tells us. Verse number 25 of that same chapter says, for our God is a consuming fire. That ought to wake us up to make sure that we don't have a part of that consuming fire. But if we die in our sins, Jesus has already told us, where I go, you can't come. So listen again to the words of Balaam. Balaam says, let me die the death of the righteous. Is that your plea this morning? Do you want to die the death of the righteous? The only way to die the death of the righteous is to be righteous. Being righteous simply means being right with God. And you and I will never be right with God unless we obey his word. So I'm encouraging you today. Make sure that you don't die out of Christ, out of the church of Christ. Make sure you don't die, even though you're in the church, being unfaithful to the Lord. And make sure that you don't die in your sin. If this lesson is for you this morning, to encourage you to obey the Lord, we want to encourage you to come and do that. If you need to obey the Lord, be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Let him add you to the church, the one that he purchased with his own blood. We want to encourage you to come. How do you do that? You hear and believe the gospel. Repent of your past sins. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ. Go down in that water of grave baptism for the remission of sins. When you do that, the Lord will add you to the church. Come up from that water of grave baptism and then strive to be faithful unto death. Strive to be faithful unto death. You're already a member of the body of Christ, but somehow you're walking contrary to the will of God. You realize that you're doing things now that are not faithful to the Lord, that are not living in obedience to the Lord. You need to turn away from those things, whatever they may be. If you just need prayer, whatever your need is this morning, I want to encourage you to come right now while we stand, while we sing. Is that one that will come this morning? Will you come? Will you come? Come, will you come? Is there one that will come? Come to the masters this morning.
Crucify, and his heart you have to die. Hold on the faith that they have. And you
require my brother. Okay, just a minute. Is there another that will come? Will you come?
Oh God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in this precious blood. My knees are wet, the Lamb of God. I will.
You can still come if you need to. Brother David Mott has come before us this morning, and we're going to let him share what his request is this morning.
Praise the Lord, saints. I just ask y'all just to keep me in y'all's prayers. You know, like I said, I've been going through a lot of hard time mentally. You know, I lost my way from God for a while. I just ask y'all just to, you know, encourage you to pray for me. Just, you know, make sure I stay in the fight. That's all.
Amen. We're so thankful for Brother David this morning, who has made that statement to us this morning. Let us all be praying on his behalf. But right now, I'm going to lead the prayer on behalf. Yes. Sister Nellie Moore. Remember Sister Nellie Moore. Let's bow at this time. Oh God, our Father, we humbly bow in your presence with thanksgiving, with praise and adoration in our hearts towards you. You are a great God. You are a merciful God. We thank you for your love, and we thank you for your grace. We come just now on behalf of our brother David, who has come forward, dear God. And Father, you know what's in his heart. We have heard his statement. We're praying that you would bless him in a mighty, mighty way, that you would strengthen him, dear God, that you will enable him to reach up towards you through faithfulness and through your word, having confidence in you that you will pick him up and that you will guide him along the way, that you will be by his side, for you have promised never to leave us, not to forsake us. So bless him in a mighty way. Forgive him of those things, Father, that he has done contrary to your will in falling away from you. So just bless him in your own way. We're praying now also for our sister Nellie Moore, dear God, who has experienced a medical emergency, dear God. Pray that you'll be with her in mighty way, that you'll bless her, dear God, that you'll hold in the hollow of your hand. Be according to your will, Father, that you will bless her to be returned to a reasonable portion of her health and strength. Bless those that are attending and will be attending to her needs, that they may be able to do those things that you have blessed them with the knowledge and the ability to do. But above all, we know that it's you that's working through them. So just be with them, Lord. Bless her in a mighty, mighty way. Bless her family, dear God, I know that are concerned about her. So just bless her and bless us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Number 511.
Oh, 22nd chapter, beginning at verse number 19, the Bible says, "And he took bread and gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Then said, likewise also he took the cup, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." What a wonderful day it would be when all of life is over down here, that we will no longer have to say, "This do in remembrance of me," but we'll be there in communion with the Lord one day. For he said in John the 14th chapter, verse number 2, in the latter part of that verse, he said, "If you go to prepare a place for us, and if you go to prepare a place for us, he's coming again, and receive us unto himself, that where he is, there will we be also." One day we'll be in communion with him. That communion that was lost in the garden with Adam and Eve, we'll come back together again with God as a family of God. And we will have eternal communion with our Lord and our Savior. Are you looking forward to that day?
Yes.
When we can be in communion with our Lord again one day. "This do in remembrance of me." So while we're on this side of eternity, we have to remember the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. And what a day is going to be when he comes back to gather home those who are in Christ Jesus. Brother John has already said in his sermon this morning, we have to be in Christ in order to enjoy that wonderful day that is to come, and that is to live in glory forever with our Lord. Let us pray for the bread and for the cup.
Let us pray. The most gracious Father, once again, I put that all the mercy in our hearts.
Our Father in heaven, Lord, we just humble ourselves in your presence. Lord, thank you for allowing us to see you that day.
Yes.
Lord, thank you for your darling son, Jesus Christ, who hung and died for the remission of ours.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, bless this cup that represents his blood, which was shed for many. Lord, we ask that those who partake of it do so in a proper manner.
Amen.
this concludes our Lord's Supper. For those that may be visiting with us this morning, if this is your first time visiting with us, there are business cards located in the pew pockets in front of you. If you fill those out already, if not, we ask you to please fill out one. And then pass those to the center aisle, and I will pick those up as I walk through. Also, for anyone that has a special prayer request that you would like to have uttered on your behalf, there are prayer request forms also located in the pew pockets in front of you. If you will pass those to the center aisle, it will make your prayer request known. Just a quick update on Sister Sheffield. As they were taking her to Huntsville Hospital, she was feeling a little bit better. They gave her some aspirin, so she was, the pain had subsided a little bit. So just continue to pray for her. She will continue to pray. Let's go to our Heavenly Father and pray. Most gracious and eternal God in heaven, we thank you for this, another day that you made. We thank you for blessing us with so many wonderful, wonderful blessings. Blessing us to see, most of all, another new day. And Father, we thank you for the finances that we are about to collect. And Father, we pray that they will be used to uplift your kingdom. Father, this church is doing such beautiful work for the cause of Christ. And we just thank you for your wonderful blessing and blessing each of one of us. Open up our hearts and our hearts to want to be a part of the great work that's taking place here at Northwest. Thank you for those that give. Thank you for those that desire to give and do not have. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and thanks we give.